You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, the good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, the good news, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We went over that verse last week. And Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of the good news. I like that. I think sometimes we're under pressure to really get down on people, to really hammer them, to really smash them in the dust, to really talk about how bad they are and how no good they are and how sorry they are, how they hate their mama and they hate their papa and never done a good thing in their life. But God loves them and we love them. God bless their dirty, rotten little hearts. Hello. We're kind of under pressure to really push them and be mean. And sometimes even political issues come up, you know, like gay marriage and abortion. And listen, homosexuality is a sin. The Bible says it is, but God doesn't hate people. Are you with me? If they repent and come to Him, He'll accept them. Abortion's murder, I believe. I don't have a problem saying that at all. But to say that there's no hope for someone who has had that done in their life and done that, that God hates them and God's against them, the church hates them, are you kidding me? Listen, anybody that has had an abortion, if you will come to Jesus, God will forgive you. We can go on, we can go forward. We can't go backwards. If you've been in a homosexual relationship, now stay with me. That's sin. That's wrong. There's nothing in the Bible at all you can say to back it up and say it's okay. It's not okay. It's bad. It's an abomination. But if you repent of your sin, God will take you in and we'll take you in. We don't hate you. We don't hate people. If you're committing adultery, we don't hate you. Are you with me? See, there's good news even in preaching holy living. Even in preaching against sin, why are we against sin? Because sin hurts people. I love you too much to tell you it's okay to sin. It's because I love you that I talk about living right. And the good news is you can live right. God really, I don't know why, but He really loves you. He really cares about you. And your past is over. Come on. Past is the past. You can't unscramble eggs. We've got to go forward. Amen. But let's start somewhere. Let's start with a standard. Let's start with God's word, and let's go for. Let's move forward. Let's love people. I don't hate people. I hate sin, but I don't hate people. Listen, the church has gotten a bad rap, and sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes we come across that way, and it's a sad, sad thing that the world knows what we're against, but they don't even know what we're for. You know, your community where you a church is, they ought to know what you. Preach what you're for, not just what you're against. Because what we're for is a whole lot more than what we're against. We're for people, amen? We're for a future and a hope and a destiny. We're for restoration. We're for forgiveness. We're for, well, praise God, you having a future and a hope. Hallelujah. That's what I'm for. That's what the Bible's for. That's what God's for. God sees you and He sees what you can be. What you should be and what you will be if you'll come to Him. You want to be all you can be? It's not the Marines. No, it's not the Army. Thank God for the Army. Thank God for the Marines. But if you want to be all you can be, you come to Jesus. Amen. That's when you find out the good news. Hallelujah. That's when you find out who you really can be. You want to be a man? Real men pray. Real men love Jesus. Real men stay faithful to their wives. Real men have character and integrity and do what they say. Real men live holy. Real men are not ashamed of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and then the Greek. So this great salvation, boy, I tell you what, how could you not share it? How could you not bask in it? How could you not be excited about it and get, you know, get back up on your feet? You may be having a down day, and in Texas I know it can get hot in the summer, but that's as hot as it's ever going to get for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's something to get excited about. Hallelujah. Well, we went over Romans 1:16 and then Romans 10, you know, 8 all the way, wow, all the way through 17 last week and talked about, those are classic verses. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Oh, hallelujah. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 13th verse says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Amen. Think about it. And then it goes on and it says, how shall they call on Him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, how should they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news. And he says this in the 17th verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we come to church, and that's why we get our Bibles out, even at our home, and read our Bibles and pray. So we can hear what God says, so faith can come, because faith is a product or a result of hearing God's word. You and I were saved because of the good news we heard, because we believed on the good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is, the good news is, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's my part. That's your part. That's the condition. He's the cause. God caused salvation. He brought it forth. He offered it. Believing is the condition. So my faith doesn't save me in that respect. Literally, my faith connects me with what God did. He's the one that saves me. With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. But we got to hear it. Amen. We got to hear it to believe it. Oh, hallelujah. So me being saved and you being saved had something to do. Somebody telling you about the gospel. Whether you read it in the tract, somebody wrote it. Whether you heard it on the radio, somebody preached it. Whether it's somebody sharing with you on the job. Somebody told you. Amen. It starts with God sending the preacher. And then it goes from the preacher obeying God and preaching the message. Then you got to hear it. Well, we close ourselves off all the time, don't we? Don't go to church, don't get our Bibles open, we don't want to hear it because we know there's just so many things we need to do and change, and yet it's for our benefit. I liken it to a dentist. You know, you got a toothache, you just want to go to the dentist and get rid of the pain. You don't want him knocking around in there and pulling this tooth and filling that one and fixing that one, and that's why you don't go, because he won't leave well enough alone. He really wants to make you better than you want to be, see? Isn't that right? And so God's kind of that way. So we don't go to church. We don't come to God because, you know, God's, he's not just going to save us. Oh, Lord, he's going to make us a better person. We're going to be kinder. We're going to be nicer. Oh, man, I don't want all that. Are you out there? But it's the truth. The closer you get to him, the better he makes you. Because he's just good. I mean, that's just the way God is. God will make you the best you can be. And we don't always want that, you know. we want to get delivered of gluttony after we finish this meal. You know, Lord, help me with this problem I have when I get through eating here. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, hey, turn anywhere? Turn to 1 Peter. That'd be a good one. We'll start there. I just want to keep ministering along these lines. The good news. Thank God for the Bible. You know, this is how we know about salvation. This is how we know what's right and what's not right. There's a lot of different ideas about God, but the Bible straightens all that out. And Jesus came in direct fulfillment of his word. In fact, the Bible says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I love that. So Jesus actually was just the embodiment, the fulfillment of what was prophesied for thousands of years. He came in direct fulfillment of the word. That's how we know he's the one, because we had a record. God gave us a map, as it were. He gave us a manual. You know, we can take this thing apart, and we can find out dreams, visions, gifts of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. Somebody's new teaching or whatever the case may be, we can go back to the Bible and find out where that's correct, where that dream was correct, or whether it was just too much pizza. You know, or whether that new teaching's correct, or whether it's just somebody trying to make a buck or whatever, you know. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. See, even in all these scriptures that we're looking at concerning our salvation, it really comes down to it's laid out before us in God's Word. We have a standard to go by. We have a plumb line, as it were. An objective faith. This is not about liking certain foods or not liking certain foods or liking certain music or not liking certain music. That's subjective. You know, you like this and I like that, and that's subjective. But the gospel's not subjective. It's up to you or up to me. It's what you think or I think. The gospel, the good news, is objective. It has an object of belief. Ultimately, Jesus, the object of our belief, as defined through the Bible and shown us through the Bible. So thank God we have the Bible So whether we're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Catholic and Church of Christ, I'm going to miss some if I say all these. Within the Christian faith, we can know, all of us, those that I just mentioned, we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again, that he was the Son of God, he was God in the flesh, that he did live a sinless life, he was killed and died on the cross, but hallelujah, he rose again the third day, he was buried, but he came back out of that grave victorious, and he is seated at the right hand of God, and the Bible tells us that, and it doesn't matter what denomination we're of, we all agree on that. We may have some differences about other things, yes. Are you with me? But this good news is defined for us in his word. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Osteen used to say this. John Osteen, that's Joel Osteen's daddy, who went on to be with the Lord back in 1999. He went on to be with Jesus. His last words were, "His mercy endures forever." And then he went on to be with Jesus. Right then. But he used to say, and he was our pastor for years before we came up here. In fact, him and Doty came up and preached in our church, our building, when we moved into this building. But he used to say all the time, and he used to do this a lot too. He'd get on the airplane, and he said, I'd sit down beside someone, and usually they'd pull out a newspaper or something. He said, I did this lots of times. They'd pull out a newspaper. He said, I'd look at them and pull out my Bible, and I'd punch them. I said, hey, you got the bad news? I got the good news. But he believed in the good news. And he used to say all the time, he said, you know, we ought to preach the good news, and we ought to preach the good news glad. Yeah. Not mad. Because God's not angry with us anymore. Not since Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. Hallelujah. Our sins have been forgiven. He's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. You know, there's consequences to our actions. I understand that. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I understand that. But I'll tell you, if you knew the truth about God, God so loves you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Here in 1 Peter, and we know that from his word, see. Here in 1 Peter, look at the 22nd verse. We'll just start there. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, I like that, your mind, you get your mind cleaned up. You know, we're often accused, churches are, of brainwashing people. And I believe that. I think that's a good claim. In fact, I lay claim to that. I think most people come to church, need their brain washed. I need a mind washed. Man, I had stuff in there I need to get out. I need, you know. So you can use that term correctly or wrongly. I think correct way to use it is that you do get a cleaning when you come to church. You get a brain washing. In a good sense, not a bad sense. But it says, since you have purified your souls, washed them, purified your minds, in obeying the truth. I love that. See, the Bible is no good if you don't obey it, if you don't do it. Every sermon you heard, it just got you all stirred up and excited. It was worthless if you walked out the door and you didn't do it, didn't use it, didn't act on it. The end of all knowledge is action. And even James says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So when we hear, when we come and we hear God's word, we should think of how we can do that, how we can apply that in our marriage, in our business, in our life, with our children, you know, with our neighbors, and so on and so forth. We ought to think of ways to put that into action. Are you out there? Because what we're receiving here is instruction. You know, I heard this years ago, that you ought to come to church hungry and willing to be changed. Yes, two things. If you'll just do that every time you come to church, or hey, every time you come to the Bible, or every time you come to prayer when you pray, if you'll just come with these two things in mind, God, I am hungry for you, and Lord, I am willing to change whatever I need to change. So that ought to be paramount. That ought to be our focus, you know, when we get under the presence of God and get under his anointing and get in church. This is holy ground. I mean, it really is. I'm not magnifying the building or the ground or the carpet. I'm talking about the spirit of us together here in the name of Jesus, coming together to worship God, to honor God, to do the right thing this week and come and give God the glory that is due to his name, and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and to honor him and his word, to worship him in our worship and our songs and so on, to give in a giving time, and now to hear what he has to say. We are here. We are hungry for God. Speak to us, O God. And God, change me. Tell me what I need to work on. Amen? Amen. So he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I love that. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. See, you and I, this good news, this gospel of our salvation that Paul said he wasn't ashamed of, this message that the preacher preached that we heard and we obeyed and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, this word, this gospel, this truth is how we were born again, by hearing it and adhering to it, by obeying it, by walking it out. You heard that Jesus saves. You heard that he saved those that called on him, that trusted and believed in him. And you know what? You called and you trusted and you believed. You obeyed that truth, and that truth, that word, that gospel caused a new birth to come and a new creature to come into being. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away, and all things become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Amen. And given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. All because of this word. It's a wonderful thing to get under the sound of it. It's a better thing to obey it when we hear it. To do it. Because it has the power to save us. The message that you hear from God, from heaven, from his word, has the power to deliver you. It has the power to change you. It has the power to save you, to give you peace and drive back the clouds of depression, to give you strength and roll back sickness and disease and weakness and inferiority and a meekness, and gives you a boldness and an authority. Hallelujah. This word is a powerful thing. Our gospel, the gospel of our salvation, Ephesians says, this gospel of our salvation is a powerful thing. Be careful how you use it. Amen? But by all means, let's get under the sound of it. Let's bask in the presence of it. Let's get under God's word. Let's let it wash over us, the washing of the water of the word. And let's let God knock around in there and straighten out all the things that are wrong. Are you with me? And let him help us with areas that we don't even realize we have problems in, till we got under the x-ray. Are you with me? It's amazing. You go to the dentist, they find all kinds of stuff. I mean, you're just going for one thing, and then they come in there and tell you all this other stuff, and you're going, what? And they'll show you. You know, they'll take that x-ray and just show you right there what it. See, you didn't know it was there. You didn't know about that. And they just want to fix you. Well, they want your money too, don't get me wrong. But they're not all that way. Some of them really want to help you and want to fix you. And God is saying, sometimes it costs. It does cost things. It costs something to improve your life. If you want to go up, you got to sacrifice. It's the law of sacrifice. You got to give up, you're going to go up. Amen. You got to give up some. You got to forsake some things and choose some things. We just taught this in men's breakfast yesterday. Where in Moses, it says of him, in Hebrews 11 chapter, it talks about Moses, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to suffer reproach with the people of God. He'd rather take the reproach of God than the pleasures of sin for a season. In life, you got to refuse some things. You got to choose some things. Even the Ten Commandments, about half of them about what you should do and about half of them what you shouldn't do. Are you with me? If you think about the Ten Commandments, there's a bunch of shalt nots and then there's some shalls. So if we choose to serve God, we're going to have to refuse, obviously, to serve the devil. Hello. Boy, y'all sure are quiet. This really is kind of like being in a dentist's office. Isn't it? I mean, abject fear I can see on you. No, this word is a powerful word, and it's a word that changes us. God's word changes us. It makes us better people. Saves us. We know that. That's how we're saved, by believing it and standing on it and calling on Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. This word, this Bible, these truths, these promises do not decay. They do not deteriorate. I mean, they're just waiting to be planted. That's all. They still have in them what they say they have in them. The DNA in by his stripes you are healed is still in that scripture, still in there. By his stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. If you'll just plant that, then healing will come. just like, you know, they have actually found seeds in caves that were thousands of years old in earthen jars, you know, sealed up, and taken them out and planted them, and they grew after being there all those years. And that's just regular seed, like corn seed and things like that. Well, God's Word's that way too. Oh, it's just an ancient book. No, it's a powerful book. It's God's Word, and it hasn't lost any of its power. It hasn't decayed at all. The good news in here is still good news today. The good news spoken 2,000 years ago still works today. But you've got to plant it. You've got to put it in the ground of your heart. You've got to take it out of the bag or out of the jar, and you've got to place it in the earth of your heart. And if you will do that, it will produce and it will grow. Hallelujah. Woo. Haven't been born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Man, these promises, they're just as true now as they were back then. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's still good, even if you don't do the these and the thous. You don't even have to say, yea, verily, forsooth, peradventure, and hitherto. If you just say, God, you'll keep me in perfect peace as I keep my mind stayed on you, because I trust in you, is what the rest of that verse says, Isaiah 26:3. That's still true today. That's still powerful today. That seed still has the DNA of peace in it. It's all built in it, just waiting to be planted in the heart of someone who believes. This truth, this gospel. This is good stuff. Amen? Good news. 24th verse says, all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel or good news was preached to you. I love that. This unchanging word, this undecaying word, this incorruptible word, these promises that are still powerful today, that still work today in the believer. They still work for you and they work for me. It's how we got saved. It's the gospel of our salvation. It's the good news of our deliverance. That word salvation is more than just going to heaven. It's the good news of our help in the time of need. It's the good news of keeping and guarding us when the devil's throwing his best shot. We're still standing. Amen? Hallelujah. James, turn to James, first chapter. This helping anybody? See, this is what we ought to get excited about, God's Word, and what we ought to get stirred up when we get under the sound of it and get in church. Man, I'm going to hear something that's going to change my life. I'm going to hear something from God that's going to take me from here to there, to the next level. Praise God. There is another level. You can go a little higher. You can do a little more. Hallelujah. You can be a better man, a better woman. You can be a better husband, better wife. You can be a better mama, a better daddy. You can be a better child. You can be a better brother and a sister. You can be a better witness. You and I can improve. That's one thing about us is we can improve. Amen? And we ought to come to church with that in mind. Hallelujah. And hear God's word with that intent and purpose. Something is going to take me higher, closer to God, so I can show him more to the world. Something I hear today is going to change my life. Something's going to turn me around. You know, one word from God can change your life forever. One little spark, one little revelation, one little leap out of the pages. Something you've heard over and over, and all of a sudden, it just explodes on the inside of you. You ever had that happen? In a church service, and you go, whoa, I see that. I mean, it's like a light going off. It's a revelation. Well, you had to get under the sound of the word to see it. You had to keep coming. Sometimes it's something you heard over and over and over, but you finally got it. Life's kind of like a fog. You know, you just, as you get closer and closer to an object, it becomes clearer and clearer. At a distance, we can't really make out the detail. But if we'll stay on the road, we walk by faith, not by sight, and we'll keep going because God said keep going. Those things that were a little, you know, shapeless, formless, start taking on shape, start taking on form. Things become clearer by approach. And you and I are getting closer to God day by day if we keep coming. Closer to his word if we keep reading. Closer to church if we keep coming. And things become clearer. I'm actually starting to see some things that I didn't really see before. Are you out there? I remember Lester Summerall, He was 75 years old. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. It's been, I don't know how old he was when he passed away, but we were in Victoria, Texas at Gary Upham's church. Gary Upham was pastoring a church in Victoria. Now Brother Osteen's son-in-law is pastoring that church. But we were down there, and I was preaching on a, I don't know, the next night. I was preaching like on a Wednesday, I think, and he came down on a Tuesday. I like to tell everybody, I preach with Lester. But actually, I was just scheduled to preach on the Wednesday. But he got up, and he was 75, and he said, you know, people have been asking me, they would say, well, you're 75 now, you're going to retire. And he said, retire? He said, I just now figured out what I'm doing. Why do I want to quit now? See, the more you stay in this thing, the more you understand it. Are you out there? Well, you don't want to quit now. We've been through too much. We know too much. We prayed too much to quit now, and we're starting to understand it. Hallelujah. All right, well, notice James, what it says, James, first chapter, 18th verse. Just one verse I want to read out of here. It says, of his own will he brought us forth. He begot us, I think King James word says. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. See how significant and important the word of God is in this process. And there's no way you can get around it. You have to ultimately, eventually get back to it. And I understand that all this points to Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate object of our faith, because all these words point to him. This is not theory and concepts and ideals and philosophies. It is a person, Jesus Christ. You can all know all there is to know about him and not know him and miss the point. But without the Bible, we don't have an accurate picture of him to know. That's what we're saying. And so he says here, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The New International Version says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. Man, what he's saying there is the word has the power to save us. And I submit to you, it has the power to heal us and the power to give us boldness, the power to strengthen us, the power to give us peace, the power to prosper us. It's all in the word of truth. It's all in the good news. But somewhere along the line, we have to connect with that. We got to get under the sound of it. Amen? And then we got to grab it, and we got to take it and go forward with it. Hallelujah. So that's why we're saying the end of all knowledge is action, and if you don't do the word, it's not going to help you. Remember when Jesus talked about the man that built his house on the sand? He talked about two men. He said two men heard him preach, a wise man and a foolish man. He said, the foolish man heard me, and he went, and he didn't do a thing I said. And the rain came, and the wind blew, and the waves beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it, because it's built on sand. It just sink in sand, because it was, he heard the word. Now think about it. He heard it, but he didn't do it. He didn't take it to heart. Then he said, a wise man, I liken him to a man who heard my words and went out and did them. And get this, same thing happened to him. The rains came, and the winds blew, and the waves beat. But when it was all over, he was still standing, because his house was built on a rock. And the rock was just doing what he heard. The rock was doing God's word, being a man of God's word. Ooh, hallelujah. See, waves don't beat us over. They don't destroy us. Winds don't knock us down. No, actually, just not standing on the word is what caused us to fall. Now think about it. The waves hit both houses. One fell, one didn't. Why did one stand and one didn't? Because one was standing on a rock, one was not standing on a rock. It wasn't what was happening to them. It was how they reacted to what was happening to them. The ones that held forth the word of truth, the word of God, the Bible, the promises, well, the same thing happened to them, to everybody else, but it didn't knock them over. Woo! I'm sorry to bring you all this good news. I know it's tough to hear that you can make it, but you can, and God loves you. I'm sorry he doesn't hate you. I wish I could say something different, but I can't. He really loves you. And I know you don't really want to make it, but I'm sorry, you're going to make it if you believe God. You're just going to do it. And if you want bad news, you just came to the wrong church. I don't have any for you. You just need to go somewhere else, because all we got is good news here. Are you with me? And all we can tell you is that you can turn your life around. If you want to pay the price here, if you want to believe, you want to trust God, you can turn your life around. Hallelujah. You can come out of your sin. You can turn your business around, your marriage around. I don't know, whatever the case may be, your mental state, you can turn it around. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, you can have a sound mind. Woo. Now, you may want to be depressed, but you don't have to be. Sometimes we love that sickness and that disease and that depression, and we earned it. We worked hard for it. We put the blues music on and enjoy it as best we can. Unplug all the phones so nobody can get us out of this mess. Don't answer the door because we don't want to be happy. Are you out there? Boy, y'all are exciting bunch this morning. I just feel like I'm on my own up here, yo. Poor old me just preaching all by myself and trying to find a smiling face. Oh, there you go. Come on now. Come on. Help me. Help me. Bless God, prayed all week, studied all week, come down here. Can't even get an amen out of anybody. Truth be known, I love this. I'd rather do this than anything. I just love it. Hey, turn to wow, there's so many good places to turn to Acts. Acts 5. That's a good one. We'll wrap this up. This helping you? Hallelujah. You know, I say this all the time, you ought to come to church and you ought to enjoy yourself. You ought to enjoy the presence of God. You ought to be challenged. You ought to be charged. You ought to be changed. No question. You ought to be drawn to God. No question. You know, there should be conviction, but conviction is not condemnation. I mean, every one of us ought to be convicted to do better. You know, I need to serve God. You know, I just need to get more serious about Jesus. You know, you should be pulled to do that. But that's a good thing when the Spirit of God's doing that. It's not a condemnation. It's not a hateful thing. You dirty dog, you know, you can't believe you're so sorry. No, it's God loves you and you can do it and you can turn your life around. There's hope with the message. That's conviction of the Spirit. Amen. But you still ought to come and you ought to enjoy the presence of God. Church should not be somewhere you dread to go to. It sure isn't somewhere you ought to get beat over the head every time you go. And yet you ought to be, you know, you ought to be corrected. I correct. I talk about sin. Talk about what's right and what's wrong. That's one of my main jobs as a minister is to separate the what's sinful and what is holy. I mean, you go through the Scripture. That's what I do. You're not going to hear that on the television, on the radio. But you come here, you find out what's holy, and you come and find out what's sinful. And we need to shun the sin and go for what's holy. Amen. But you ought to enjoy the presence of God. My calling, when God called me to teach, without going into detail, really boiled down to He called me to teach. He called me to teach His Word. This is back in 1976 was when he called me. I had it like an open vision. We were just in my hometown, and I saw that same church and went by that church. When God called me to teach, He just very strongly showed me how miserable some people were going to church. They had good hearts. They wanted to do right. But, you know, for whatever reason, why, I don't know. In a lot of churches, there's a lot of good churches, don't get me wrong. But in some churches, it's just, man, it's just beat you over the head here and beat you over the head there, and you just come out worse than you went in. I mean, and that's not what church is about. Church is supposed to build you up and I will never forget that vision I had where I saw that happening, and God said, I want you to do something about that. And it's always been my goal, even when I pray, you know, over the services, God, I want these people to leave better than they came. Not just feel good about yourself. I'm not saying that. You need to repent of sin, but you ought to know you can. You ought to know you can repent of sin. You ought to know that God will help you do it. You know, that you're not alone. You ought to know that you're not worthless and you're not miserable and you don't count, because the good news is you do count. That you're vitally important to God. You're the utmost importance to God. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God thinks of your soul more than he does the whole world. He sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. What else does he have to do to prove to you how much he loves you? God cares about you more than you care about yourself. You're more important to him than you are to yourself. And you ought to come to church and get a charge. You ought to come to church, get a challenge, yes. And you ought to come and get changed, no doubt about it, yes. But you ought to walk out of here better than you walked in. You ought to walk out of here with hope. You ought to walk out of here with courage. You ought to walk out of here with faith. You ought to walk out of here knowing that God's got a plan and got a will and got a destiny for you that you can fulfill. And whatever it is you're facing, you can turn the thing around. You can change anything you can see. You can change anything that's happened to you. You can turn anything around if you'll trust God. Amen. That God's word in your mouth, God's word in your heart and in your mouth will absolutely save you from whatever the world throws at you. Amen. Always, in every case. And these words are words of deliverance and help and rescue and restoration. And that's what we're about. We're a safe harbor, a safe haven for you to come and get help. I think it's fascinating here in Acts 5. Here's Peter, and of course he's getting all persecuted, you know, for standing up for the word and saying good things and healing people. My Lord, healing people in church. My. How terrible was that? That was so wicked and evil. They're actually healing cripples and blind eyes were popping open. That's just a terrible thing to happen in church. Hello. That's what they got Jesus. You know, that's what they got on to Jesus about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's just, when I look at it, I'm appalled at that. They would just get in his face and holler and scream and plotted to kill him because he healed people. Are you kidding me? People living with that kind of pain and disease and crippled and blind, and he comes along and he opens their eyes and they walk and they run and they leap and they shout, and then the religious people are all upset about it. Because you're not supposed to have fun in church. Don't you smile. Don't you even look like you're enjoying yourself. This is church. Wow. Get deliverance, get help. That's what it's all about. Well, they got all over and put him in jail, and it's amazing. Here it says in the 17th verse, then the high priest rose up, I'm coming to close, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles, put them in a common prison. They ain't put them in a good prison. Put them in a common one. But at night, oh hallelujah, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Man, that's powerful. Not this death, not this pain, not this misery, but you speak to the people the words of this life. Because if anything this gospel is, it is a gospel of life. Anything this message is, it's a message of life and hope and healing. And deliverance and forgiveness and restoration. Woo! Peace. It's good. Go you into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel. Jesus said it succinctly in the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, 10th chapter of John. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. This is the gospel of our salvation. This is the good news of our deliverance. This is the good news of our peace and joy and prosperity and healing. Hallelujah. It's all here. We've got to come and get under the sound of it. Amen. We've got to get it in our heart and get it in our mind, get it in our mouth, and let the world see what God can do. Praise God.